Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
We're not deceived by their pretenses to piety. We have seen their kind before. They are the heirs of all the murderous ideologies of the 20th century. By sacrificing human life to serve their radical visions, by abandoning every value except the will to power, they follow in the path of fascism, Nazism, and totalitarianism. And they will follow that path all the way to where it ends, in history's unmarked grave of discarded lies.
That's George W. Bush in his State of the Union address in January, and reflecting on a year after 2001 that had been filled with tragedy, loss, heartache, and really a recognition, not only on that president's part, but on the American people's part, that there's real evil in the world. But is that evil confined to a terrorist's mind? Is it confined to the perpetrators of inhumanities? Is it confined to those who brought about a Holocaust in the last century? Not only the German Holocaust against the Jews and others, but the many Holocausts that marked the last century? Where is evil, and how big a problem is it really? Joining us for some moral reflection on 9/11, 10 years afterwards, Dr. Clay Jones, Associate Professor of Christian Apologetics at Biola University in La Mirada, California, and author of a recent article titled, 9/11, Are We All Moral Monsters? Dr. Jones, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Pleasure to be with you.
You say that we are all 9/11 enabled. What do you mean by that?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked, because I think it's something that is probably the key to the article. One of the things I teach on why God allows evil at Biola, and about 15 years ago, I thought, if I'm going to teach on this, I really need to study mass murder, genocide, the Holocaust and things like this. And as I decided to really study these things closely, and I spent a couple of years reading about the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia, the rape of Nanking in 1937, all the people who were murdered by the Soviet Union, by China, and so on, I all of a sudden one day just got it. And what I got was, I thought, we talk about the horrors that people commit as being, oh, those are monsters, or there's something really unusual or strange or bizarre about them. But all of a sudden it sank into me clearly that this is what people do. That this is, in fact, as I mentioned in the article, it's precisely human. That if humans have a chance, if they have the motive and they think they can get away with it, if in some way this is going to be okay for them to kill, they will kill if they have the opportunity. And all of the Holocaust historians I mentioned in the article, every single Holocaust genocide researcher I've ever read, I mean to a person, in fact, every victim that's ever reflected on genocide or whatever, every single one of them, their conclusion is that it's the normal average members of a population that do this, that the people that are doing this are not monsters, they're not some kind of weird freaks. I mean, there are some people that are twisted, granted, among them, but for the most part, they're just ordinary people. And so that's why the article is in, talks about being 9/11 enabled, that simply, except for the work of Christ in our lives, we're all enabled to commit these atrocities.
That is not, as you point out in your article, to relieve anyone committing any crime of moral culpability.
No, of course not. And as I say, the people that commit these crimes, those who give themselves over and those who act on this kind of thing, of course they have to be punished. And, they should be punished. So, no, absolutely not. This is not negating any moral culpability to say that we all have this potential. Absolutely not. The answer, of course, is that we need to come to Christ and we need to be changed by the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need to frankly, be adopted into a new family.
Your realization of this came to you in the midst of your research on these things, of actual atrocities, of actual inhumanities, so to speak, to man.
Yes.
Maybe we could call them humanities to man.
Oh, I think so. I think you're absolutely right.
Mine came when I was a little kid. I remember hearing my pastor one Sunday morning standing in the pulpit saying, look, I'm a son of Adam. I'm a fallen creature in my sin. And according to that fallen nature, if given the opportunity, if put in the right circumstances, there is no crime that I am incapable of. And I remember as a little kid thinking, this can't be. This is my pastor. This is a man of real moral spine. But there he was admitting that at least according to his sinful nature, this is what he would do if the circumstances were right. And it was a real shock. Do you find it's a shock when you say this to students who are studying morality as a philosophical subject?
It's what I've decided that I need to do, and I go through several different kinds of evidence when I get the chance to present this, and I actually talk on human nature and human evil for about 3 hours when I teach on why God allows evil. But one of the things, what I'll do is I'll say, first of all, I'll give examples of human evil, and I'll go through, of course, the Holocaust and all the people killed during the Soviet Union and China and Cambodia and on and on. But then I'll talk about, well, let's talk about the United States. I mean, the United States has aborted 50 million babies. We have suctioned, scraped, or scalded to death 50 million babies since 1973. Who keeps this legal? A majority of Americans keeps this legal. Then I will go into the shock therapies, or not the shock therapies, the shock experiments that Stanley Milgram did, where he set up what looked like traditional learning experiments, yet people were shocking, would shock each other with very little provocation and give 450 volts of shock to somebody that they didn't know was a paid actor, was really a paid actor, even though the person was screaming and begging to be released. Then I go through the reflections of victims and researchers, and once I'm done going through all the evidence, frankly, I find that as opposed to people going, oh, no, this isn't true, this isn't real, people go, all of a sudden they go, I get it. And I think that that's exactly what humans need more of, is to look at this, to stare this in the face and go, humans really can do great evil with just a little bit of prompting. And of course, again, as a Christian, the answer to that is you need to be born from above and come in and be a part of a new family, because otherwise the Adamic family is capable of is capable of mass murder, frankly.
Dr. Clay Jones is our guest. We're getting some moral reflection, unlike you will hear elsewhere, on 9/11, 10 years afterwards. He's Associate Professor of Christian Apologetics at Biola University and author of a recent article titled 9/11, Are We All Moral Monsters? Stay tuned.
Whether you are just starting or have played your entire life, Oak Brook Golf Club in Edwardsville is your home for golf. Our 27-hole layout, fair prices, and award-winning staff, and ever-improving course conditions make your decision easy. We have always been family-owned at Oak Brook, and golf is our business. Our PGA staff offers leagues, instruction, camps, a senior scramble, and our family special where kids play free. Oak Brook Golf Club, 618-656-5600 or oakbrookgc.com.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. IssuesETC.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. the Issues Etc. business card, and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I call them Issues Etc. conversations. In fact, we had a guest in the studio this afternoon in an earlier hour, and he was telling me about one of these Issues Etc. conversations. Someone he did not know previously happened to be driving along with them and suddenly discovered they too listened to Issues Etc., that they were fans of the show together. This happens quite often. Sometimes you're talking about something you heard about on Issues Etc., and the other person doesn't know what you're talking about. Well, we have just the thing for you. It's the Issues Etc. business card. Instead of trying to remember all our contact information, maybe even the name of the show, people often mix it up, or how to get a hold of us, or where we're found on the web, very easy. The Issues Etc. business card has it all right there for you. You find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. You can download it, print it off on suitable stock. You can cut along the lines that we've provided, and you can stick it into your purse or into your wallet and be ready for that Issues Etc. conversation. By the way, you can also find the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer there. It's an 8.5 by 11 that you can put at your church's bulletin board. Issuesetc.org. Click support. Look for the bulletin board flyer and the Issues Etc. business card. Dr. Clay Jones is our guest. We're talking about his moral reflections on 9/11, 10 years afterwards. Dr. Jones, Luther's insight on the problem of evil and evil in the world is that it was only God's constant protection and curbing of our evil impulses through civil government, through conscience, that prevents us from utterly destroying ourselves.
Oh, I think that's absolutely correct. I mean, when people look at something like the Holocaust, most people are really not, I find, their consciousness of what's really going on in the rest of the world, like I say, the Khmer Rouge or all the things that have happened in all the other countries where just mass killings have gone on, that they really aren't taking this very seriously. They don't take abortion very seriously. But when they hear about the Holocaust, which is probably is most prominent in our minds, they say, how could this happen? But when you really understand human nature, the question is really, why doesn't it happen more often? And I think it's exactly what you said. It's just simply God's providence holding back humankind's nature as he pours out the Holy Spirit. But people have to, again, they have to be, because this is what the race of Adam does, and they need to be born again into a new family. I'm reminded of the old, of course, there, but for the grace of God go I. And indeed, I ask people all the time, if your life had turned out differently, could you have been a guard in Auschwitz? And I think the only real honest answer to that is yes. And by differently, I mean, suppose you hadn't become a Christian. Suppose you weren't born again. Suppose you were raised in Germany in the 30s. Could you become a guard in Auschwitz? I think the only honest answer to that is yes.
Have we allowed the problem of evil, that classic problem, to be misframed then? Instead of seeing man as morally neutral, as the norm being man going about his business and really keeping doing no harm to his neighbor, perhaps we should say the norm in the problem of evil is the inhumanities to man, and the exception is when it doesn't happen. Maybe instead of why does God permit evil, maybe we should make man responsible for the evil.
Wow, Todd, I'm sorry I cut you off. I didn't mean to, but I think that's exactly correct. And I'm just frankly, I'm very pleased to hear you say that, because I don't find a lot of people, you know, very quickly in line with me on this. The question is really not why does God allow evil as much as why does God allow man? Because once you realize how evil humankind is, I tell my students all the time, once you really understand the depths of human evil, and once you really understand that we really are all Auschwitz-enabled, that's what I usually say, we're all born Auschwitz-enabled. Once you understand that we're really all born Auschwitz-enabled, the problem of evil, to a certain extent, not entirely, but to a certain extent, goes away, because no one ever asks why bad things happen to bad people. And I think it is the sense of human depravity that, of course, the reformers were so big on, that I think is correct. And I think that, but I find Christians wanting to move away from that. And frankly, I find Christians wanting to move away from the entire conception of original sin. And I think that's terribly hurtful to understanding the entire truth of Christianity if you begin to get away from these doctrines. And, of course, we have in Romans chapter 3, it says, there is no one who does good, no, not one. So the question isn't whether God's a moral monster. The question is whether man's a moral monster. And the truth of the matter is man does have tremendous potential to be very evil, and, again, he needs to be saved.
Now, you mentioned just a moment ago the tendency of many Christians today to back off of the stark reality of original sin.
Yes.
And what the Bible clearly teaches about our inborn nature.
Yes.
From Adam. Nowadays, many churches, especially in America, present church as for people whose lives are already pretty good, and the church can make them marginally better with a little Jesus added in. What's your take on that?
I agree 100%. We attended one church once, and I get the bulletin, and the bulletin says, Jesus died for your mistakes. And right there, I wanted to rent my clothes and throw dust on my head as they did in the Old Testament, because I'm like, Jesus died for our mistakes. Yeah, well, maybe in some sense, but Jesus died for our sin and rebellion. And I do find that Christians are getting, you know, they are trying to move away from this because it's not palatable in this seeker-sensitive age, for many Christians anyway, to say, well, you know what, you're really a desperate sinner. And so we want to say, well, you're, you know, everybody's kind of committed a sin here or there, and I know you have too. And so you need to come to Jesus, when really we need to be much more frank with them and say, no, you are a sinner, and you're a desperate sinner, and you need to repent of it. You know, I mean, as you know, law and gospel, according to the reformers, is practically preached when you preach law to secure sinners, and you only preach gospel to insecure sinners. To somebody who's secure in their sins and thinks that they're a good person, you do what Jesus did to the Pharisees. You only preach to them the judgment of God and that they are desperate sinners. And that's what Jesus did to the Pharisees. To those who are insecure in their sin, who recognize their sinful condition, to those you only give the gospel. Unfortunately, what many Christians are doing now is they're giving the gospel to everyone, but most Americans are what we would call secure sinners. They already think they're good people. And they already think they're going to heaven. And so we tell them, oh, well, you know, even your little mistakes or some of the, you know, every once in a while everybody does something bad and God will forgive you of that, without really coming to helping them come to grips with, no, you are a desperate sinner.
So with a few minutes left to us, should 9/11 have surprised us?
No, it shouldn't have. I mean, we can say we're surprised over, I mean, I didn't know, of course, that they would target the World Trade Center. I don't know who did, but well, we should have, because they did try it in 1993. I should say we had some reason to believe it. But I think the big thing is, should it have surprised us in the sense that people do evil things to each other? Not at all. Should expect that, because that's what all of human history tells us, is that humans will do terrible things to each other if they have half the rationalization and think they can get away with it.
There was a book about 15, maybe even 20 years ago now, and I do not remember the author. I do not think he was a Christian author, but his insights were remarkable. He wrote a book called Bad Men Do What Good Men Dream, and he approached it totally as a forensic pathologist. He approached it totally from a sociological viewpoint, and based upon his studies of crimes and criminals and interviews with innocent and guilty people, he concluded that what bad men do, the kind of people who end up sitting in prison the rest of their lives, is exactly what so-called good men dream of doing but don't have opportunity.
Or they don't do it because they're afraid of the consequences. And so, you know, John says in 1 John, he who hates his brother is a murderer. And so I ask my classes, why, if you hate somebody, why don't you murder them? Well, it's not because you care for the person, obviously, because we've already established you hate them. Well, why don't you murder them? Well, because what if I try to do it and I don't succeed, or I get caught, or I end up in prison? I wouldn't do well in prison, or it would ruin my reputation, or who knows what. Well, that's not goodness, is it? In other words, the reasons you're not murdering is out of self-interest if you hate somebody. It isn't out of moral goodness. And I think that that's exactly what Jesus was trying to do constantly in the Sermon on the Mount, is to point out that evil is a matter of the heart, and that people have adulterous hearts and they have murderous hearts, and they think they're good because they're not actually acting out those adulterous and murderous thoughts, when really they're not acting them out because of self-interest.
Dr. Clay Jones is Associate Professor of Christian Apologetics at Biola University in La Mirada, California. He's author of a recent article titled, 9/11, Are We All Moral Monsters? Dr. Jones, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you again, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pamela Geller about the Islamization of America. Also tomorrow, we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. When we understand our real predicament, and it is no comfort whatsoever to say, well, we're all just as bad as every other guy. We're all in the same boat when it comes to sin. There's no comfort there. What does that leave us? That just leaves us in a world where we fear constantly that our evil will get out of check, will go unchecked, and that we will be its victim, or we will victimize others. We need someone who doesn't have this problem, one who is without sin, one who is of the race of Adam, but without his fall. That is Jesus, and only Jesus. And only he can rescue us from our sin and from the death that our sin brings to us and to others. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.